Hello, my marketing and entrepreneur friends. Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Let's Talk Marketing podcast, where I, your host, Katya Allison, get to explore the latest trends, techniques, and strategies in the world of marketing. Today, I am thrilled to welcome Gabby Adele to the show. Now, Gabby is the founder of Capital Boost, which is Prague's first outsourced sales agency, which has rapidly grown to achieve 10K in monthly recurring revenue in just 8 months. Now, with a background in software and AI sales, Gabby's unique blend of athletic discipline, I promise we get into that, and business expertise makes her a standout in this entrepreneurial world. Now, in today's episode, we're going to get into the crucial topic of sales and marketing collaboration. Now, Gabby shares her insights on why aligning these two areas in an organization is vital for the success and how data-driven insights and feedback loops can drive growth. We'll also discuss her journey from marketing to sales, sales to marketing, and challenges she's faced and her advice on really fostering better teamwork between these essential functions of sales and marketing. So you know the drill. Grab your favorite beverage, sit back, and let's dive into it. Let's talk marketing. Gabby, welcome to the Let's Talk Marketing podcast. I'm really excited to have you on here, and we're going to talk a little bit sales and marketing collaboration today. So welcome and thank you.
Thank you so much for having me here, Katya. I'm looking forward to our discussion.
Same. So let's have the audience get to know you a little bit. I always have my standard questions. So let's start with, what was your first marketing role, or what you would classify as marketing role?
Right. So my first marketing role was back in 2017, where actually I did an internship in Exter. It's a wallet company, and I was working with PR and influencer marketing. It was actually my first job ever. So it was interesting to like first just start into marketing. And throughout the time, it moved to VC. Like I was working in VC in marketing and a little bit at EY as well, with a little bit of sales in between. At the end, I chose to have my own business in sales, although marketing played a crucial role for me to be where I am now, because with all the knowledge I gathered through all the experiences, like it was very, very beneficial.
So let's talk about where you are at now. What are you currently doing?
Right. So I'm a founder of Capital Boost, a first outsourced sales agency in Prague. And I help SaaS and tech founders to get into the market, to find clients through cold outreach, through leveraging different AI systems. And I work internationally. My clients are international. And I started this agency literally 7 months ago. So from then to now, I have 6 clients and we are also growing. I'm quite excited about it, actually. So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Now, before I dive into the next set of questions, I do want to go back to where you started and where you're at now, because, you know, before we hopped onto the podcast, I said, you know, you're traditionally sales, and you're like, no, I started in marketing and then transitioned to sales. I always feel like that's a natural transition. Oftentimes you hear sales into marketing, but I would love to get your perspective on like, what did you learn from being in a marketing role that has really benefited you into like where you're at now? Like, do you find that there's something that you continue to carry over?
Yeah, definitely. I am by heart a very creative person, and I love what marketing taught me in that aspect of how to be a bit more bolder and with my messaging, with the marketing campaigns and everything. The reason why I moved to sales, it was because I loved face-to-face interaction. Like I love talking with people. And that was what I was missing initially in marketing. Maybe I didn't go into the, you know, highest point of marketing, but I just felt like I wanted to, I don't know, like go more into the sales side, because I'm also good in negotiations part. I wanted to test it out. And then when I tested those waters, I ended up there. currently for my own agency, I'm doing marketing myself. Like, yeah, I'm still doing it. And like, if I wouldn't know, of course, marketing moved so much in a over the years. Now it's all video. Now it's all, you know, data analytics. You like so much to talk about in that sense. But without my previous knowledge, like, it would be hard to do sales because they're very intertwined and very, it's important.
I agree. Absolutely. I think that marketing is sales and sales is marketing. I think it's more of the channel of distribution is very different, right? Yes. Marketing is, even when you are focused on like account-based marketing, which is supposed to be incredibly focused on like a targeted audience, it is still kind of broad. There's nothing like the salesperson developing that relationship, like truly developing that relationship, that I think is like such a pivotal difference. And that being said, you kind of already touched on this a little bit about what you like, the face-to-face, in regards to what you're currently doing. But I'd love to know, what do you love about what you do outside of that? And conversely, what, if anything, could I pluck out of what you currently do to make it the perfect job? So let's start with a positive. What do you love about what you do?
I would say the dynamic nature of the work. Like, when you're a founder, you know, you have to put so many different hats all the time. You need to be customer service. You need to be sales. You need to be marketing. Yeah. You need to be finance. And that's what I like. But on the other hand, it's also a challenge because I am more creative person. I'm more strategy person rather than analytics person. So for me, sometimes the difficulty is like to go back and remember like, okay, strategy and numbers are super important and you cannot lose them because otherwise the business will not go. So the dynamic I love. I love being a founder. You know, I was in the corporate scene. I was in startup scene. And being my own boss and serving the clients of my own that I choose to work with is what I love, really. So that's what I love. On the negative side, I a bit touched on that already. and also like the stress that it comes sometimes. Like, I don't want to say like stress is, but it's normal actually. So, you know, you really want to deliver the best result for your client because they're paying for it. So, and sometimes client thinks like that everything can be delivered super fast and they want, you know, the result yesterday. And to deal with that stress part is quite a challenge, which I'm still learning. But it is what it is. So I'm super happy.
I feel like get on board. We're all on the same how do we handle stress situation. And everything is really very different, right? Like, I think, and I'm, you know, I've just met you, but I would assume that part of that is, and you actually kind of alluded to that, is like, you're a high achiever, right? Like, you want the absolute best outcomes for your customers, and settling is not something that is probably in your vocabulary. No. I think that amps up the stress level sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, for sure, for sure. You know, I used to be a professional athlete as well for 14 years. I still hold Lithuanian record. So I think part of my character also comes from that, like high achieving goals, and dealing with stress is part of the game always. And it's always changing. And
always.
But yeah.
Absolutely. What were you an athlete in?
Fin swimming. It's the fastest swimming in the world. There is not an Olympic sport. But I used to compete in World Cups and World Championships. It's basically like, imagine a mermaid. So So it's that.
How interesting. Also very surprising that it's not an Olympic sport, just based on all of the different Olympic sports that have come out. But wow, ooh, fun fact about you. I love that. Now, in your business, I would imagine you have to be able to stay up to date on the trends. So give us your secret to how you're staying up to date on the trends. Are you subscribed to a specific newsletter? Are you an avid book reader? Do you network? How are you staying up to date on the trends so that you ensure that the strategies that you develop for your customers, even from a sales perspective and even for yourself, are exactly like what you should be doing?
Right. So I'm always like, LinkedIn is my main platform for selling apart from cold emails. And I every day engage with individuals on LinkedIn and, you know, have calls with them. So definitely from thought leaders on LinkedIn. I am a regular attendee for conferences, networking events. Like, that's what gives me energy. And that's also the best way to sign clients as well nowadays. So these two parts as well. I'm a book reader. I am. And I try to read as many business books as possible, like how much I can squeeze them in. Like, currently I just finished AI in 2040. So that's like how AI will develop. Super interesting book. I now don't remember the author off the top of my head, but this one's definitely worth attention. And also I try to read business news and as well as McKinsey's strategy. So like white papers, things like that. In terms of like, if I need something like what's happening, what's new, what's hot, I just Google most of the time. So
yeah, there's nothing like Google at your fingertips. And I Google all the time too. I'm also an avid reader, but my podcast keeps me up to date on a lot of the trends as well too. I think the amazing part about having Google at your fingertips is you've got one question and it allows you to go down many rabbit holes. And before you know it, you're like, I don't know, researching the history of the French Revolution. It is, or maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. I'm probably just projecting. Yeah, right? You're like, how did I even get here? What was my, like, that could probably be its own show. What did I start? What was my initial question and where did I end up? I love that. I love that. Well, now I have you on here because we're going to talk about marketing and sales collaboration. I had told you, like, this is a top question that I get all the time. Like, how does marketing and sales collaborate? Now, before we dive into just kind of a how-to, I'd love to hear from your perspective what you think the benefits are of having a marketing and a sales team collaborate with one another.
Well, that's super important, right? In any business, if it's corporate or if it's scale-up or if it's startup, if those two teams are not aligned, the communication goes sideways, the KPIs go sideways, and it's quite hard for the business as well. So it's super important to have marketing and sales aligned, and we will talk later about how, but because we need to ensure that the messaging is the same for the client, the conversion, the conversion is also, you know, like, it needs to be a unified approach to the client. So that's one of the main reasons why marketing doesn't go with sales. Plus, marketing creates so many good tools. Again, it depends if it's B2B or B2C we're talking. There's many nuances in there. But ideally, like, let's say in B2B sales, marketing creates events, right, that potential customers can go to, as well as case studies, which is super important, setting up campaigns on which you can sometimes get even better leads than from sales. So if those two are not aligned and marketing is targeting one and sales is doing their own thing, it's not going to work. So it's very
important. I mean, I think the word we underline in there is alignment, right? We all have to be marching towards the exact same goal. I think what we get from those efforts are slightly different. What do you think it takes to get them aligned and on the same page? And this may sound like a silly question, because is it, practically speaking, is it, let's get you all in the same room? Is it, we're all marching towards these orders? How do they connect? Like, what's that secret sauce of like getting them to collaborate?
Yeah. So first of all, is the stigma, right? Like, I feel like there is this two departments beefing up a little bit. Like, no, we are more important. No, we are more important. And that's something we need to clear off. Like, and how to do it is, of course, communication. This is super important. Another thing is understanding that we are working towards the same goal in the organization, right? Also having regular meetings where sales and marketing give feedback loops, Like, yeah, what is going well? What are you working on? What is not going well? Are these leads good? Are these marketing campaigns generating more leads or more visibility? Like, having this alignment of constant feedback loop is really crucial, as well as, I would say, having aligned of what is the actual customer that we are targeting.
Yes.
Like, who is he or she? Who is that business? Like, really breaking down, let's say we're talking B2B marketing or B2B sales, right? Yeah. Like, are we selling to or marketing to CFOs? What do they like? Which platforms are they? What challenges they're facing? What are their hobbies? And having this like visualization of to who you are selling or to who you are marketing, it will help both teams to have crafted good messaging and good overall unified approach of how to get the customer, like their eyeballs basically, to that product or service. So this, I would say.
You definitely struck a nerve here, because I feel very passionate about this. Because what I hear you say is, you know, it's communication between sales and marketing that's going to be key. And it's not just initial communication. It's ensuring that you have a feedback loop of communication and that the questions that you're asking are very specific, right? Like, you know, I want to know the lead that I got you. Was it a good lead? If not, then why? Because that helps marketing and it also helps support the sales team as well too. But the other thing that you said was the persona, right? Like, who are you actually going after? And from a marketing perspective, we have all of these different personas, right? That we're creating and crafting, and we're all kind of going after that. But I think like there is this ideal customer profile that is almost like the umbrella for the entire buying committee for that ideal customer profile. What are your thoughts on ideal customer profile? And actually, even before you give me your thoughts, I'd love for you to define ideal customer profile. This is such a thought experiment for me, because I've been asking people what their definition of it is, because I, as a marketer, look at it very differently. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, how do you define what an ICP is, an ideal customer profile?
In sales, we define it by their role in the organization, the size of the organization, geography to where they are located. These are, I think, the main ones, because I use a lot Sales Navigator, LinkedIn Sales Navigator.
Yeah, love Sales Navigator.
Me too. I love it. So filtering it out like that. But I recently attended a training on ICP, and they were saying you really need to break down, like, as if that buying persona is you. Like, imagine, like, as an example, finance. Again, I'm coming back, or we can take another one, but finance.
No, stick with finance. We're good. We're good.
CFO, right? Like, I wake up in the morning as a CFO. What do I do? Which social media I'm checking? What are my thoughts? Which outlets I'm reading, right? What are my responsibilities? What are the main problems that I'm facing? Because in marketing and in sales, to have the ideal ICP, you have to focus on the problem, not on their services, and we are the best and here are the benefits, and bombarding people with benefits. No, it's more like a doctor coming as a doctor. Yeah. So what are you struggling with? What is hurting? Like, and when you identify your ICP, like, what is hurting for them and what daily struggles they're facing, that really helps to narrow down of the ideal persona you are targeting. And then you can target your marketing communication and the videos creating or the campaigns that the marketeers are setting to really tailor it down. And also, like, in that training, we're having, okay, how many kids do they have? Like, really looking down.
That's really building out those personas. And I think it's interesting, because a lot of people don't know how to leverage those. how to really leverage them effectively, right? From a sales perspective, well, I'm not a salesperson, so I can't answer from a sales perspective how you would use that level of detail. So I will tee that question up to you. Let's say you have like that all broken down from a sales perspective. How do you leverage that information?
Like, for instance, in the first outreach messaging, if it's super cold, you don't need that much detail.
Yeah, I noticed that you dropped off your kids because you have 2.5 yeah. kids. That would be creepy. There's definitely a line of like, there's a line.
Yeah, but when you hop on a call and, for instance, yeah. you've been following that person for a longer time on LinkedIn or you've checked their social media, I know it sounds a bit like stalking, but it's nice to ask like, oh, where did you go for a vacation? Like to break the yeah. initial conversation down and having more warm communication with them. So I think that's important in the understanding also like the ICP in sales helps you to understand how fast they will buy, like the sales Ooh. Cycle.
How does that inform how quickly they will buy?
Well, it depends. Most of the time, CFOs are very analytical, right? Mm-hmm. So they will really need a lot of documents. They will check everything. They will be really narrowed on their perspective on the buying. If you're dealing with salespeople, most of the time, well, half of the salespeople are very spontaneous. So they're like, okay, let's go. Let's do. Let's try. Let's see. So it's a little bit playing around like that, but it definitely helps to understand to who you're selling or to who you're marketing. And it helps. Yeah, it just helps. The more detail you know, the more knowledge you know about that person that you're yeah. selling to. Like, it's going to just help out to ease the process and make it more efficient. So
I couldn't agree more. And I think as a marketer, I take a look at ICP. And for me, ICP informs my content marketing strategy, but it also informs from a very basic level, like a demographic, firmographics level. What can I put on my form that helps the sales team so that I can then score this lead that's coming in, right? I think that oftentimes forms have like first name, last name, email, but like you can gather a little bit more information that helps get you closer to your ICP. So I always encourage people to take a look at your ICP and see, are there questions on your form that you can ask that will get you closer to knowing whether they are your ICP? And I don't literally mean like all of those questions are you looking to buy? Maybe there's a time where you do put that in there. Wouldn't that be fantastic if all sales were made based on a form? Then we'd all be e-commerce and we'd be, you know, sales and marketing wouldn't be needed at that point. But that's how I leverage ICP from a marketing perspective. So it's really great to hear from a sales perspective how you can leverage that. Now, between sales and marketing and getting that ideal collaboration moment for them or just continuous moments, what do you think are some of the biggest challenges outside of like that initial beefing that you talked about at the beginning of like, they're always beefing, but why are they beefing? What are like the big challenges, right? What are the challenges in collaborating with sales and marketing in your opinion?
So firstly, I would say that it's different numbers and different KPIs. So let's say for sales, it's we need to hit quota every quarter, and marketing is more, what are the conversion rates and are the leads good? Like, correct me if I'm wrong on that end.
No, they absolutely are. I'm looking at my lead generation funnel. That's my world.
yeah, exactly. So the challenge is that when these teams are not aligned, and I said that in the beginning a little bit, I touched upon that, is that it's so hard then for the business to work together, because we must have continuous feedback loops, continuous cooperation, continuous understanding on what you are, what is marketing doing, what is sales doing, to be able to work together. And that's my point of view. And the challenges, there are a lot of challenges in every business, of course. I think I've
heard it sounds like it's no, it sounds to me like some of the key challenges are measuring success in very different ways from a KPI perspective, which absolutely, you're right. I'm focused on lead gen. Not that I don't care if that lead turned into an opportunity. I definitely am, but I'm not in that sales meeting that says, hey, this is what I'm held to this particular pipeline from a sales perspective, because, you know, typically they're based on a commission of some sort. I'm not based on commission. Thank God. That's also why I'm not in sales. So it sounds like KPIs are definitely, and how we measure success is one of the big challenges. I think like the other challenge that I heard you say was just kind of having different approaches to how you're trying to achieve that success as well too. And the thirdly is not having that feedback loop so that you're communicating what those approaches are. Do you have any kind of tips for in this feedback loop meeting, what kind of things should they be discussing? Because I think oftentimes we know we should be talking to one another, but what ends up happening is we run through and I've been part of so many of these meetings where marketing is just listing out all of the things that are doing and sales is listing out all the things that are doing, but that's not collaboration. I am just now, it's like a grocery list. So what are some questions that people could ask so that those meetings truly turn into collaboration?
Right. Important thing is challenging each team. Marketing should challenge sales, and sales should challenge marketing. And it needs to be healthy challenging.
Yes. For instance,
if marketing sets up a campaign on LinkedIn,
yes,
and they, you know, broke it down, I've seen how this works. It's quite detailed. And, you know, we're pouring money into it to pop it up. And we get some leads. Marketing should be asking, is this the right leads that you're getting? How was the call? Do you think from these 15 leads that we provided you, with how many were you able to get in contact? Because sometimes they just fill out the form and they disappear. If you were able to get on that call, how did that call go? What do you think they didn't understand in initial communication? Did they get through the form easily, or it didn't work somehow and they bounced off? These kind of questions marketing should ask for sales. Another one would be, mainly in the lead section. Another one would be if marketing is preparing some sales materials, are customers understanding in the messaging? Do they respond? Do they have more questions or no? Like really trying to understand, sales and marketing goes around the customer. So both teams should be thinking, is the customer satisfied with what they are getting? Do they have a clear understanding of what we are offering here? On the other side, sales should be asking marketing, how much did we spend on this campaign? Long time it took you to prepare that? What were the numericals on that end, right? Like how many people saw, how many eyeballs we were able to get, how many actually converted? Okay, and then challenging them like, okay, maybe this image or this video is not that good. But then marketing should be like, why? And having like this healthy communication, healthy brainstorming together, because at the end of the day, we want customers. We want paying customers. And both teams are working towards that goal. So healthy challenging. And that will not happen if sales doesn't understand what marketing is doing. And if marketing doesn't understand how sales closing is going or how the initial call is going. they should be like interested, truly interested of how it's going for them. And in any case, help out in the process to make it easier. Like, for instance, I got my previous job. I'm very good at copywriting. I don't know why. I love it.
It's because you're creative.
Perhaps. I don't know. And then marketing asked me, they were creating some ads and they asked me to look through it because I was sending communications to clients that were converting. So I looked and we brainstormed together and that was very healthy. And that was very nice because they were challenging me and I was challenging them. So in that scenario, I would say.
I love the questions that you posed. And when you were posing as a marketer to the salesperson, all those questions, I'm like, absolutely. I want to ask all of those questions. Yeah. But I have to be honest with you. I don't know that sales has ever asked me the questions that you have posed, which if they did, I don't know. It would warm my heart a little bit to know, like, because then it does feel like a shared language. And sometimes I think that's where the beef comes from, right? The beef comes from like, I don't work for you. You don't work for me. We're just trying to work together. But I love the idea of sales asking marketing, how much did you spend on there? What was the return on it? How many people did see it and how many people maybe clicked, how many people, like all of this information is what I obsess over because like I have told everybody, I am a big data dork. Mm-hmm. I make data-driven decisions. I base strategy based on the data that's coming in. And as a marketer, I'm looking at multiple points. And I know as a salesperson, you are as well too. What do you think are some kind of shared data points between sales and marketing to help build a bridge in like the data communication so that it doesn't feel so like, oh, you're just worried about lead gen and you're just worried about meeting your quota. Do you think that there's some shared data in those collaboration meetings?
Yeah. Two I can think of is customer acquisition cost
and love that.
Cost per lead. Like how much do it cost for us? And everything is in the cost. So these two that comes like right now in top of my head. And well, conversion rate, because it's both for sales and for marketing. Like what is the funnel? Like the funnel. How is it going?
I know the funnel. I feel like I have the funnel tattooed in my brain. The conversations are constant about the funnel. But I also understand why. And I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing my screen and I said, I want you to see what it is that I'm reporting on. When I talk about my funnel, this is my funnel. So I look at like leads coming in from the different sources. Cause for me, again, the data, that's going to help me understand what channel is working for me. Do we need to double down on events? Is it virtual? Is it the website, right? Is it that marketing collateral that is going out there? Or is it our partnerships that are not just, maybe it's not the most leads, but the highest conversion, right? So I'm looking at number of leads, how long it takes them to go down the funnel. And I was showing them this and I said, that's my part. That's what I obsess over. I said, but for me, the bridge is also when they leave me, what happens? Like how many of those leads that I'm giving actually turn into like dollars? And that's where like that pipeline comes in. Like, hey, this is the marketing pipeline. It's not actually money in the bank, but it gives you a little bit of information. And I always feel like when I'm talking money to the sales team, like that's a shared language we can all get behind. So yeah, I like the funnels. And then they have their own set of funnels that I'll look at, but I won't obsess over as much as I obsess over mine. So I think it's funny that you said that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This has been so fantastic. I could talk about this forever. I do have one final question for you. And the question is, if you knew then what you know now, what is the advice that you give to yourself?
You just talked about data-driven insights. And that's something I would definitely incorporate previously. So data-driven insights would be another one, would be bolder.
Ooh, try I like that.
Bolder things, more, even more creativity and more uniqueness, because that's what separates the good product and the good marketing and good sales. Like, you need to be your unique self. And I was afraid to be, and now I'm getting and learning and constantly learning to do, to be more unique, more personal, and just, you know. So definitely that. And the data,
I love that
for sure.
I love that. Don't be afraid to be bold, and don't be afraid of data. It can be your friend. Exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming on here and just sharing your story, sharing your wealth of knowledge. I think that, you know, as listeners, we're all going to gain something from it, because it's going to be, whether you are any part of the marketing organization, any part of a sales organization, these two groups have to be able to work together. So hopefully everybody took away some really great tips. Thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed it.
I hope that you guys found that episode just as insightful as I did. I am ready to give you what my key takeaways are. Key takeaway number one. Kind of obvious, sales and marketing collaboration means constant communication. Now, during this episode, we went over why regular and effective communication is key to a successful sales and marketing collaboration. It is important to have continuous feedback loops and regular meetings where both teams can discuss lead quality, campaign performance, and customer satisfaction. That's also a sampling of what they should discuss, right? Sales should challenge marketing about campaign costs and outcomes, while marketing should question sales on lead quality and follow-up. This kind of constructive dialogue really ensures that both of the teams are aligned and working towards the same goals, making it so much easier for the business to achieve its objectives. Now, from a practical standpoint, keeping these lines of communication open between sales and marketing can make such a huge difference. This feedback loop is where both sides learn from each other and adjust their strategies accordingly. For instance, if marketing knows what kind of leads sales find most valuable, we can fine-tune the campaigns to generate better quality leads. We're all in this for the same thing. And on the other side of the coin, sales can provide insights into how well the marketing messages are resonating with those customers or with these prospective customers. This regular exchange not only improves the effectiveness of both teams, but it also ensures that everyone is focused on delivering the best possible experience for customers and prospects. Key takeaway number two. Align sales and marketing with a shared ICP. I feel very passionate about the ICP, which is the ideal customer profile. Now, a shared understanding of the ICP is crucial for effective sales and marketing teams. Sales and marketing should really also work together to define their ICP by considering factors like role, organization size, and geography, right? Basic demographics, firmographics. But it's not just about these basics. Understanding the daily challenges and the needs of this ideal customer can make your messaging much more impactful and streamline the sales process. The more you know about a customer's pain points, the easier it becomes to tailor your approach and make the sales process much more efficient. Now, syncing up on ICP means you're not just aiming for an audience, you're targeting the right one with precision. Think ABM. That one, ABM, has been such a hot topic, I feel like, in the last few months, or a hot topic in a lot of the conversations I've had. But that's fine-tuning, obviously, who your audience is, right? Or knowing who that is. When both sales and marketing teams share a deep understanding of ICP, they can really craft more effective strategies and communications. This alignment helps in predicting how leads will move through the sales funnel, and it ensures that marketing efforts are not wasted. From personal experience, I have found that when teams collaborate closely on defining and understanding their ICP, it truly does lead to more successful campaigns and smoother sales processes. It's all about making sure everyone is on the same page and working towards the same goal. Now, my key takeaway number three, I feel like is really obvious, but I wanted to really call it out, which is, you know, let's talk about the benefits of connected sales and marketing organization, right? So my third key takeaway is the benefits. It can lead to more effective campaigns and better customer experience and prospect experience, right? When both teams work together, they ensure that the messaging is consistent and strategies are unified, which really helps in generating higher quality leads. Bonus is it's great from a brand awareness perspective. They need to be able to hear and see the same thing over and over again. Now, marketing can create valuable resources like events and case studies that support the sales efforts, and a collaborative approach means both teams can leverage these tools for better results. So I'm no longer just creating a case study to create a case study. I'm creating something that the sales team knows how to go out there in the wild world and execute on it. Being on the same page is crucial for success. When these teams work together in harmony, there is such thing, trust me. They can maximize the impact of their efforts from generating high quality leads to providing, again, that consistent customer experience or prospect experience. This alignment allows for better use of marketing assets and a more cohesive strategy, which ultimately leads to more leads, right? Stronger overall business performance. Now, what did you take away from today's episode? I want to hear it. Post it on the Let's Talk Marketing LinkedIn page or the YouTube channel. Leave it in a review on Apple. Slide into my DMs on LinkedIn. Let's keep the conversation going. A very special thank you to my podcast editor, Johnny Ike. And thanks to you for spending your time with me today. Until next time, may the conversation flow, the laughter linger, and the outlook remain optimistic, but grounded in reality. This is Katya, signing off.